You've probably heard the old saying, don't judge somebody until you walked in their shoes. Because the temptation, of course, is to judge someone based on the mere glimpses they show us, on the brief encounters and exchanges we have with them. We judge people often very quickly. We make inferences about people based on minimal information. We usually have no sense of perspective of where they're coming from or where they might be going to, yet it's not uncommon for us here and in life to feel in those situations that we have a sufficient basis to make judgments about others. But let's think a bit further about the analogy about to walk in another's shoes, because I suspect most of us don't take that literally. It's not about trying to slip on someone's actual shoes and walk in them. What the little saying is about is telling us about people's life circumstances. Literally putting ourselves in the shoes of another one is to miss the point of what that saying is about. Rather, the shoe represents another person's actual life circumstances, and walking means to live and move. And so the saying means, don't judge someone until you've lived and moved in their life circumstances. And this metaphorical use of walking is quite common in the Bible. In fact, it was in the passage that Doug just read. I don't know if you noticed that. And it wouldn't surprise me that the person who wrote this saying, came up with it, was inspired by the biblical notion of walking. Now, for a metaphor to work, it has to be based on a certain literal truth. And the actual act of walking with someone can be a powerful place of joining with them, climbing the same hills together, crossing the same streams, enduring the same weather, confronting the same challenges together, encountering the same beautiful vistas together, experiencing the same suffering. This is a shared experience. What it means to walk with someone in a literal way. And there can be a real sense of camaraderie that develops between people who have this basis of shared experience with each other. I remember the TV series Band of Brothers. It was based on a book about a company of soldiers fighting through World War II together. And they walked together through the trials and tribulations of war. And there was this incredible bond that developed between them because of their shared experience. Now, it's from this literal truth that we get a powerful metaphor of what it means to walk with someone, what it means to meaningfully accompany them in some significant manner. In the book of Genesis, which is the first book of the Bible, in chapter 5, there's this long genealogy that's laid out from Adam to Noah. And what is interesting is that it says in verse 24, and I have a slide there, Elma, it says, Enoch walked with God, and then he was no more because God took him away. Enoch didn't die. That's what it means. Now, when I was a little kid, I remember reading the story again and again in a children's Bible I had access to. Actually, this children's Bible was in a dentist's office, and I was constantly, as a kid, going to get teeth filled. Every time I got there, the one joy of that time was they had this children's Bible, and I would run over to it and read it. See, it was only about the stories of Genesis, though, so I know those stories of Genesis really well. And I was totally fascinated with this story because I took the image of walking quite literally as a kid. I imagined that Enoch and God went on hikes together. I thought it was so cool that they put their lunch in knapsacks and went off on the trail. They went out on an adventure together. I also had an image of Enoch talking with God as Enoch was walking along in the evening where God and Enoch would share stories with each other. Of course, that's not exactly what it means when we say Enoch walked with God. To walk with God, that means Enoch lived with God, moved in a certain kind of way with God, shared intimacy with God, knew God in a deeply personal way. That means there was a powerful connection between them. I had an experience of this type recently with my daughter Elizabeth. As some of you may know, she's gone off to Carleton, and I called her on Thanksgiving Monday, and the whole university was completely shut down. Even the library, the main library, was shut down. And Elizabeth wanted to study, and so she went out and searched for a classroom that she could work in. And she was talking with me on her phone as she was walking through the campus looking for a room. And we had this most lovely conversation as she went about her search for a place of study. And I could tell that she was a bit lonesome, a bit out of sorts, you know, her first year at university in a big city so far away from friends and family. And she did eventually come across an open classroom to work in. And at the end of the conversation, she thanked me for walking with her on her journey. Even though, of course, I wasn't anywhere near her proximity, we still walked together. And even though I didn't move my legs once during the conversation, there was still this feeling of journeying together. If we walk with someone in life, there's a good chance that there is no walking involved at all, or the act of walking has very little to do with moving your legs. To walk with someone means that we accompany them in a meaningful way. It means we provide real companionship of a type to them. We might call this kind of accompaniment holy accompaniment. And the true test of a person's spiritual life and character is not what he or she does in the extraordinary moments of life. It's what he or she does in those ordinary times where there's nothing tremendous or exciting happening. It's in those simple and unremarkable moments where the true walk with others occur. A person's character is revealed in his or her attitude towards the ordinary things of life. When one is not under the spotlight. And this is true in our relationship with others. It's especially true in our relationship with God. The challenge of walking with God is that we have to eventually get into step with God. We have to keep pace with God, which means getting our second wind spiritually and learning to walk with God. There's always going to be a difficult element of getting into God's stride. In fact, one of the hardest things to do in life is to get into the stride of another. Sally and I noticed this when we hiked together. Our strides are fairly compatible, but they're still different. And it's not easy to conform your stride to another person. I see this when I watch the parents picking up their kids in the Montessori school located in our church here. The kids are moving at their own speed, and you can see that the parents want to get moving. But the children have their own stride. And it's hard when we have to move slower or faster than another. When we get older, we sometimes have to learn how to move to the pace of others. They've learned to move to our pace. Now we have to move to their pace. We have to conform our approach to the approach of another. We have to allow our own individuality to temporarily merge with another. When the Bible talks about walking with God, it's talking about the individual person who merges into a personal oneness with God. That's what it means for Enoch to walk with God. Enoch merged himself into a personal oneness with God so that God's stride and God's power alone are exhibited in that person. And that's not easy to do. It's difficult to get into stride with God, because as soon as we start walking with God, we find that his pace has outsurpassed us before we've even taken three steps. See, God has different ways of doing things than we do. And if we're going to walk with God, we have to be trained and disciplined in his ways. We have to get into a certain spiritual condition in order to walk with God. That's why at times I think of Trillium as being a spiritual gym. I know some of you go to a physical gym, or some of you have weights and equipment in your basements. I go to the YMCA so that I can maintain a certain degree of physical conditioning. Although I have to admit to you, I'm feeling it today, so I overworked out, I think. In the same way, we need to go to a spiritual gym so that we can strengthen our spiritual conditioning that will allow us to walk with God in life. And remember that God has different ways of doing things, so we won't be able to keep up with God unless we work at staying in shape, spiritually speaking. Unless our spiritual conditioning is of a higher order. Jesus walked with God. He merged himself into a personal oneness with God. Even though he was the Son, he still gave up his right to his own individuality and merged himself into a personal oneness with God. So completely that God's stride and God's power alone was exhibited in him. As they say, Jesus never worked from his own individual standpoint, but always worked from the standpoint of his heavenly Father. And he calls us as his disciples to do the same, to get into stride with himself and with God. And that's what Paul means when he says, walk by the Spirit. Did you notice that when Doug read Paul today? Walk by the Spirit. He's not talking about walking in a literal sense, of course. He's saying live by the Spirit. Attend to the Spirit in your life. Move on the insides with the Spirit. Share an intimacy with the Spirit of God. Know the Spirit in a very personal way so that this intimate connection with the Holy Spirit can be strong. And he says, Paul, today, that means not gratifying our fleshly nature. Not living primarily as physical beings. Not making our physical needs our first and often our only priority, but rather making our spiritual nature and the conditioning of this nature a number one priority for us. And again, just to be clear, the Bible sees the physical body as a good thing. It's an essential part of our existence. It's just that it can so easily become It's just so easy for us to be consumed by our bodies, to become our only focus of our existence. Our physical nature can so dominate our spiritual nature that we lose track of our spiritual nature. When our physical nature dominates us so completely, it becomes flesh in the way that Paul uses the term. Our physical existence becomes a barrier to following Jesus, walking with Jesus, walking with God. Our bodies become an extra burden, a weight upon us that makes walking with God next to impossible. Paul says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." And this is part of our training at Trillium. That's why I think of Trillium as a spiritual gym. You want to know what that spiritual training looks like? Well, part of it is learning how to put aside our self-indulgence for a time and learning how to put aside our physical wants and desires for a time and learning how to walk to another stride, learning how to refocus our priority in life by serving each other humbly in love. That's part of what we're here to do, to train together. And that's really hard to do. Let's not deceive ourselves. Because it means putting aside, temporarily at least, our claim to our right to ourselves. It means stepping down from that throne that we all desperately want to sit on in life. In the physical gym, you pump iron in order to prove your physical conditioning. In the spiritual gym, you learn how to step down in order to gain a sufficient spiritual conditioning that allows you and I to walk in stride with God. Part of our spiritual conditioning is learning how to live with people who are very different to us. Trillium is a mixed collection of people from various walks of life with different ways of seeing things, with different priorities, different sensibilities, yet we come together and grow in our spiritual conditioning, which means we learn how to walk in stride with each other. Not insisting that everybody walk in our stride, but we learn how to sometimes walk in the stride of another, with the ultimate goal of being spiritually conditioned sufficiently so that we can walk in stride with God. We can get into God's stride. And that's what the Holy Spirit does here at Trillium. It gets us into stride with God and with each other. To walk in the Spirit is to come into a oneness with the Spirit, to become spiritually fit enough so that we can walk with God in life. You might even say that the Holy Spirit is our own spiritual trainer. And so there's also another part of our training here at Trillium. We want to walk with God, at least some of us do. We want to get into God's stride, but many of us want this all to be grounded first in reason. We want the whole endeavor to be reasonable. If we're going to walk with God, we want to understand it all up front, what it means for us. See, we're all of us, many of us at least, are part of the rationally reserved. We want it to all make sense before we begin. But that's not how it works, because part of getting into God's stride is to leave behind our reasonable nature for a time, perhaps to suspend it for a time. Our reasoning is initially an impediment to getting into stride with God. Our reason is a hindrance. Having it make sense all up front as a condition of moving forward in our walk with God is not the way it works. Spiritual truth is first learned through the atmosphere that surrounds us, not through intellectual reasoning. That intellectual reasoning may come later on, but in the moment, the movement of God is more like a vibe than an idea. It's God's Spirit that changes the atmosphere of our way of looking at things. And then things begin to be possible that were once thought to be impossible. We might say it this way: let go, let God. That's another part of our spiritual training at Trillium. Let go, let God. Let go and walk with God, get into God's stride, let a love that goes beyond our human understanding take hold of our hearts, our minds, and even our bodies. And that sounds wonderful to me at least, but it's not easy. In fact, it's really difficult to let go sufficiently, to become free enough on the inside and on the outside that we can get into the stride with God, getting into a oneness with Him. And it takes a long time to get there. We are definitely taking the harder path, but keep at it. There's no greater blessing in life than to walk with God, to become so intimate with God that His nature and His way becomes your own. And if there's any pain to be had or any suffering that comes from our spiritual training, get on with it. And before long, we will find that we have a new vision and a new purpose and a spiritual conditioning sufficient that perhaps it may move mountains or even raise the dead.